You know, there is a real lesson for me. Some of you know, maybe some of you don't. I don't have control over what I preach about every week. I made a deal with the Lord when He called me to preach, and I finally accepted to that if He didn't give me a message every time I stood up to preach, that I'd tell the people that I didn't have a message from God for them for that week, and we just might as well sing. And so far, with nearly 18 years, I've never missed a time that He didn't give me something to talk about. I assume that it is pertinent, the choices He makes about what we're going to talk about. And this one is no exception. I think it's very appropriate for what's going on in the country today, just like that one last week about truth. God has impressed on me this thing about truth, and we as Christians need to be addicted to truth, need to leave stuff that we know is not true alone, and we need to stand for what is true. But God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit are the embodiment of truth. They can't be anything else. So whatever they have to say to us is always truth. I have been mentioning about the activities of Satan and being able to recognize that in our country, in public, for the last several weeks, several months. And I want to talk about some more of that this morning. I think you'll probably be familiar with the scripture from Mark chapter 4. No need to turn there, in verse 15. When Peter and Jesus are talking together, and Peter gets loose mouth and says something he ought not to say to Jesus. And Jesus' response to Peter was, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Jesus, recognizing that the words coming out of Peter's mouth were put there by Satan himself. Jesus spoke to Satan because of what Peter said. Now think of that for a moment. And all through this thing today, I will be asking the question. I've asked it of myself. We're in the age of opinions. Anthony and I have talked about this a lot. And people are constantly giving opinion. You cut your news channel on, and they've got people there paid hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to give their opinion. And you know, opinions really are not worth a quarter. Nobody knows what's going to happen. But people want to hear people that they think are smart's opinion about what's going to happen. Anthony said that he had come to the conclusion, and I agree with it totally, that if he's standing in a group of people who are giving their opinions and God doesn't give him an opinion to share with them, he never opens his mouth. God grant that we'll have the strength to do that. But I'm going to ask you this question then. If Peter, not knowing that he was speaking for Satan, and Jesus recognized it and had to correct it, how many times do we speak for Satan without knowing we're doing that? Because all it takes is an opinion. That's all. Churchgoers in the South have a tendency to disregard the existence of evil spirits, including many pastors. I know this from personal experience. I've had to deal with demon-possessed people and to try to go find some help to tell you how to go about doing it. and you can't find the help unless you go talk to a missionary that's been in Mexico, South, or Central America. That's the only ones that know. And it's down there everywhere, all the time. But in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, I want to remind you about something. Chapter 6 of Ephesians and chapter 11. Paul says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Paul is concerned that Satan's going to change us. He's going back the other way now. Otherwise, I mean, it says in Romans chapter 12 that we learn to be like Christ by the renewing or changing of our minds. We learn in another place that Satan goes after our minds. That's how he works, in trying to tempt us to do what our body and our fleshly lust tell us to do. He says in verse 12, very interesting, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's government. Big people, people who have power, are taken over by Satan. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand," just stand there. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Not all the spirit world is positive. You know, I thought about this as I'm thinking about the assignment that I had to deal with. Most of you probably, in my opinion, know more about the spiritual world than any group of people I've ever been around in my life, because we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and that part of the spiritual world ever since I've been preaching. So you understand about the positive spiritual world. We don't say that much about the negative spiritual world or the evil spiritual world, but it's out there just like the Holy Spirit is. Everywhere, all the time, 24/7. I've learned in the book of Acts, back in that day, that Paul and Peter and the apostles had to deal with Satan and the ways of the evil spirits that follow him every single day. It's amazing the different ways that Satan attempts to try to destroy the work of God through people. And we're going to look at some of the ways today that they had to do that. That we don't fight, just like the perfect example is when Jesus, instead of scolding Peter, he was speaking to evil spirits in high places that just came out of Peter's mouth. He didn't get on Peter about it. He got on Satan about it. Praise God that we might be able to recognize when it comes out of people's mouths what Satan wants us to say. And we'll say, hey, that's not right. It's just like we said a while ago. Satan has got us all keeping our mouths shut when immorality is sitting right in the middle of our church. It's like Susan was talking about. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 says that we all walk according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, before we were saved. We were under his control. Now please be aware of something. And I frankly don't know how it got started, because I went and researched it in my Bible. It's not in the Bible. Satan does not reign in hell. He is not the ruler of hell. That's not where he lives or where he has ever lived. Satan is the prince of the present world system here on this earth, and will end up at the end of time in the lake of fire. But he's never lived in hell. Hell was prepared for him when God's done with him in the lake of fire. But he doesn't live down there. He lives here on this earth. And he goes back and forth, Peter said, to and fro, seeking whom he will devour. That's his business, not living in hell. Now, some of the demons that got kicked out of heaven are down there because they were bound. Why some of them were loosed and run free today and why some of them were bound, I don't know. But that's what the Bible says. So if we turn just a few pages over to the left to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, just flip 6 or 7 pages. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. Paul is talking here to the church at Corinth about the false teachers who are in the church. The false teachers that are there at Corinth in the church. Verse 13 of chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Demons are able to transform themselves into human beings, even those who are speaking for Christ. And no marvel, verse 14, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. An angel of light is one who is speaking for God, a preacher. Satan is able to change himself, transform himself without any help into a preacher. And believe you me, the more I learn, the more I understand that they're in pulpits all over this country. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, or the demons, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now let me make you aware of this. Angels in the Bible are referred to as angels. The good angels and the bad angels, a lot of times in Scripture, are just called angels. And you tell whether they're good angels or bad angels by the works that they're doing. If they're opposing God's work, they're evil spirits and demons and bad angels. And if they're supporting Christ and God and all of his work, they're good angels. Now sometimes they're called devils or demons. But most of the time they're just called angels. And you got to figure out in the context of what it says about them because of what they're doing, who they might happen to be. In Daniel, just a little side thing, don't turn there, but in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 10, Daniel is shown the future just like John was shown in Revelation. To understand Revelation and Daniel, you got to know both books. You got to study them together because they're so similar. But Daniel is looking at the throne room of God in the future, and he says he sees thousands of thousands and ten thousands of ten thousands of angels that are ministering to God. Thousands of thousands or millions. Ten thousands times ten thousands is 100 million angels Daniel saw in the throne room ministering to God. Now take into account, that was after a third of them been kicked out. So what we're looking at is at least 100 million angels, good angels, and that would mean 50 million bad angels that were kicked out. This place is covered up with the spiritual world, people. They're around you all. The Bible says you got a guardian angel watching after you, goes everywhere you do. From the time you were a little kid, it did, it says. So we get an idea of just how many beings we're talking about here. Some of them were left free, and some of them are bound. Like I said, I don't know why they were differentiated that way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, you don't have to turn there. Paul is concerned that Satan should corrupt us not to realize the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. I've said before, we tend to take subjects from the Bible and make them so complex nobody could deal with it. That's our nature as humans to do that. He says, like Satan beguiled Eve, that we'll be beguiled the same way. And look what happened. She took his temptation, made the wrong decision, and we, the human race, has suffered ever since. So let me say something about the evil spirits to remind you. They're created as angels, so they have the same characteristics as angels. They're just bad. They're sinners. They got sin. They chose to sin, and they did. Evil spirits that are flying around invisible in our world are above the laws of nature. They are not bound like we are to time and space. They're invisible. They do not have fleshly bodies, even though they can change themselves, transform themselves into fleshly bodies, into humans. They have superhuman knowledge and strength, and can impart superhuman strength to people. In talking with some of those missionaries to South America, Bob Tyson was talking about that a young girl, 15 years old, that couldn't have weighed any more than about 135 or 40 pounds, was coming down the aisle in a church where he was preaching, presenting her self for salvation and for baptism that they were having after the service. And demon-possessed men start grabbing her, trying to hold her back from the front of the church. And she threw those grown men, some of them he said weighed well over 200 pounds, all over the church. If you will notice the scriptures, some of the people who they've run into who are possessed by demons have tremendous strength. They have to chain them to keep them from destroying stuff, so they can give their strength to people. They can possess and control unbelievers. That is a scary thought. And they do every day. I'm beginning to see on my TV where you can recognize that some of those have reprobate minds and are under control of Satan. They can only oppress believers. They can only frustrate. They can only stand to the side. They can't make a believer do anything, but they can stand there and tempt him, hoping he'll choose to do something wrong. They're in the business of fleshly uncleanliness and basal satisfying of the flesh. In other words, your lust that the Bible says we all have. Satan and his demons are in the business of trying to get us to succumb to the lust of the flesh and the eyes and the heart and the mind to do those things that we know are wrong, that we ought not to do, but we do them anyhow. That's what kind of business he's in. They know who Jesus is, and they know prophecy, and they know that they're in store for them is doom. They're going to be doomed and thrown in the lake of fire themselves. They know this. And we'll see later that they, in fact, biblically know Jesus. Now, if you will, please turn to Acts chapter 16. And verse 16. Here it comes down not to general stuff, but the particular stuff. Remember, Luke wrote Acts. And in chapter 16 of Acts, in verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer. Luke is talking about him and Paul and Timothy and Silas. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now listen to this situation. As they are going about trying to establish churches and preaching for God, a young girl who is a slave girl, apparently, because she has a master, starts following them around. She makes her master a lot of money by telling fortunes. The spirit of divination, that's what it is, to be able to look into the future and tell what's going to happen. And she's made her owners a lot of money. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. That's true. She was telling the people who came in contact with this group of men under Paul that they were showing people the way to salvation. And this did she many days. So she's following them day after day after day. But Paul, being grieved or frustrated, turned and said to the spirit that is in this girl, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains, their profit in other words, was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Now you see the situation. You got a girl, everybody knows about her. She's a fortune teller. Like the one down on 5, below Brent, down there at Miller Pottery. The lady's been down there in that trader for a long, long time. Sister something or another, and you can go in there and pay her. She'll tell you what's going to happen to you in your future. This girl could tell fortunes, and she was making her boss man a lot of money. And when Paul turned around and ordered the demon to come out of her, the divination demon, the spirit of divination, or soothsaying, or fortune-telling, when it came out of her, they couldn't make money out of her anymore, and they out to try to kill Paul and Silas now. That's the stuff they had to deal with every day. And I mean, they were thrown into prison and beaten and stoned and whatever because of stuff like this. Satan is out there every day trying to get us. I'm impressed by what Solomon said in the first of Ecclesiastes. There is nothing new under the sun. He goes on to say that from the time immemorial when the world was created until apparently today, at least up to that time, nothing had changed. And so apparently nothing's changed now either. It's the same now as it was then. I have no doubt that it is. But we, as Southern churchgoers, have a tendency to disregard all this stuff. Well, the missionaries to South and Central America and Mexico said you can't disregard it down there. It's in your face every day. But for your information, there are people who allow themselves to get under the control of demon spirits to be able to predict the future. And hear me now, they can. This is not a scam. They can do that. With the power of Satan, they can tell you your future. It's true. You see them on TV, and the TV people make a big deal about them, and they talk about their truth. They are. They don't realize that they're following Satan. They wouldn't tell you that because you might not turn on the channel and watch them. They just tell you that they're miraculous human beings because they can read into the future. But they got to understand the Bible says those people that can do that put themselves under the control of a demon in order to be able to do that. Now, the word I want to throw at you for this right here is success. S-U-C-C-E-S-S. Those people who had this girl with the spirit of divination were making a lot of money. We went to a seminar. I know Jimmy went. I asked Geraldine. She said she didn't know for sure if she went, but back in the 70s, a fellow by the name of Bill Gothard had a seminar in the Civic Center in Birmingham every night for 3 or 4 hours. We didn't get home until 10:30, best I remember, for a week. And he had a series on this subject, right? Part of what he saw was on this subject right here. And I learned a lot about it. At that time, we had not long been destroyed by a tornado. People were very good to us. We were the only people in this close area, closer than Bobby Clark at 6 Mile, that had lost everything. And so people just covered us up with stuff. Judy would go through those big garbage bags of clothes and everything you could think of, toys for the kids and everything, and pick out stuff that she thought was suitable for the children to wear. And she had the rest of the stuff, being a person who does not throw anything away you might could use, she had the rest of it in those bags in the closets. And when we found out what I'm fixing to read to you, we came home and had a big fire. My kids were little, like 3 and 7, maybe, something like that. And it made an impression on them that has lasted to this day. You wouldn't believe it. We're going to be looking at that. If you will, please, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Now, this scripture right here is to God's chosen people, the Jews, as He is placing them in Canaan, the promised land. But I want to remind you, we made the connection weeks ago. This is God's chosen people. And if it happens to them, the chosen people that we are today will happen to us too. In chapter 18 and verse 9, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. What the people who are already living there. When I move you into the land, you don't take up their ways. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire. They were sacrificing their children in some of those pagan, idolatral religions in those days. They were sacrificing their children to the gods. or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, a consulter of familiar spirits is a person who can call back people from the dead. If you remember that movie Ghost that Whoopi Goldberg was in or whatever, she claimed to be one of those people. And when she called back somebody from the dead, it scared her to death because she was running a scam too. But they can call back people from the dead and get messages from them. Or a wizard or a necromancer. A person who puts hexes on people. A witch doctor, if you will. They tell me the cities of Mexico are full of them. And the only guy in town that'll be driving a Cadillac will be the witch doctor. Because he's the one making the most money. For all those that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. He said, I'll clean them out before you get there. Just don't take up these people's ways. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. If you'll turn a few pages over to the left to chapter 7 of Deuteronomy. In verse 25. Here again, same message to the same people, talking about the people that live in the land of Canaan that he's sending them to. The graven images of their God shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. He says, when you get their idols, even if they're made out of gold, don't take them to your house to try to, because they're valuable. Because you can be snared into the same thing just like those people were. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Now, a thing I want to make you aware of that we learned in that day. The only way you can get rid of something that is in your possession that may be making you just like the person that owned it before and cause you to be a cursed thing is to burn it. You can't pass it on. You can't give it away. You can't put it in a goodwill box. You got to burn it. When we went through those bags in the closets in our house, I found a Ouija board. And I said, what in the world? She said, well, I knew you wouldn't want the kids to play with this thing. I said, no, I wouldn't. Didn't even know you still had it in the house. We burned rock group t-shirts, heavy metal band t-shirts, you name it. Anything that was dedicated to satanic forces was burned in the backyard. And the kids helped poke the fire. And we told and explained to them exactly what we were doing. You cannot get rid of a curse on anything that has come into your possession by doing anything but burning it. That is the rule of the spiritual world. God is trying to show us here that's the way it works. Back in those days, we learned that a lot of rock groups followed the Church of Satan. They would dedicate their instruments to Satan in order to have success with their rock group. They dedicated their musical instruments. Their guitars, good luck charms, trinkets, jewelry, some works of art. So folks, here's the thing. When you are picking up trinkets at a flea market, you say, oh, this is cute. You got to be careful now. You take that stuff and put it in your house. We became aware of that kind of stuff. We prayed and asked God to show us that kind of stuff. And Judy had bought a trinket. It was in a hall shelf. We walked by it every day. And she said, for some reason, every time I walk by that thing, I feel cool. I said, I know, I do too. We took it and threw it in the fire. We never felt that anymore. You can actually bring curses on you and your house and your kids and your family by bringing something in there that has been dedicated to Satan. We had a missionary from the Navajo Nations in Arizona at our another church, and she had some of the most beautiful jade jewelry you've ever seen. And several of the ladies kept commenting about it, and I noticed she was very withdrawn about saying anything about it. And when I got her off to the side, I said, I noticed there's something funny about your jade jewelry. What are you talking about? She said, well, I don't want to upset anybody, but you have got to be very, very careful that the jewelry that you buy that is handmade has not been dedicated to Satan by the one that made it. She said, you better know before you wear any Indian jewelry the person who made it. And you got to know that they'd had nothing to do with Satan, because they'll dedicate these things to Satan to make a lot of money off of them. And he sees to it that they do that. I remember the piano player who played for me at another church found that she was taking a break at Alabama University of Montevallo every morning with four witches. And she was having trouble with her recitals remembering memorized music. And they told her, you take your wedding ring off, put it in a glass of water, put it on the mantle, and do so. They went through a whole rigmarole. And she said, well, that sounds like a bunch of witchcraft to me. And they all looked at each other and grinned. And she came to me and had a resignation already written out. She was going to resign playing piano for the church. I said, whoa. You don't have to resign. Get away from them. That's all. Well, I took the job, y'all know, when I was a music student, and I didn't want it to be, you'd be afraid that it might affect me. I said, no, that's not the issue. They had hexes, the witches did, at the college for allowing them to be able to memorize a piece of sheet music to play at a recital. I'm telling you, it's everywhere. And you need to know about it. You be a cursed thing like it. So be aware, people, of what's in your house. Be aware of the things that you purchase or that someone might give you. There was somebody in this church several years ago was given some kind of little Indian dream something or nothing. I don't know, a dream catcher or something. And we went to them and told them about that, and they got rid of it. They had no idea. They had it hanging up in the kids' bedroom. You just don't do stuff like that. In Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 27. You don't have to turn there. Those with familiar spirits in Israel are put to death. Saul, if you remember, God quit telling him anything. He was king of Israel. And he got so disobedient to God, God wouldn't direct him. So he sent his men to talk to the witch of Endor to find out whether or not he's going to win the next battle or not. And the prophet sent him the word back, no, you're going to be dead tomorrow, you and your kids too, because you've been disobedient in asking a witch to tell you what's going to be. I mean, she told him. She told him the whole thing. And it came true, every bit of it. So turn back now to Acts chapter 19. Two more scriptures. Acts chapter 19 and verse 13. I'm telling you, this sounds so much like the things that are going on right today. And if you know those kind of things are going on, you can live a different life, because we're walking around, as Daddy said, like blind dogs in a meat house, not even knowing what's going on. And we're placing ourselves in bad positions all the time. Verse 13 of chapter 19. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits. Here's a bunch of people who call themselves exorcising demons out of people. And they decided they were going to get demons out of people. To call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we command you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. They weren't even Christians. They were ordering demons out of possessed people by the name of Jesus that Paul had been preaching about, because he'd worked for Paul and them. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. Here's seven sons of a chief priest of Israel trying to get demons out of people by mentioning the name of Jesus over. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. People, I had several college kids at another church. They were missing one Wednesday night, and I said, where are these guys? They've gone to get a demon out of a guy. No. Oh, yeah. This is nothing to play with, people. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. They confessed what they were doing, which was evil stuff, bad stuff, dealing with spirits. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. Remember, Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver, and this, the books that these people burnt at this particular revival, amounted to 50,000 pieces of silver. This made an impression on those people. And it scared them so bad, those that were involved in all of this kind of occult stuff, burned everything they had that had to do with any of the evil spirits. They burned it. That's the only way you can get rid of it. They were taught that. Bob Tyson told me one time, he was in Nicaragua. He had a seminary down there. He was teaching local boys to be preachers. They were born again believers. He came into the office one day and asked the secretary, where's all the students? He said, they've gone up on a mountain to get a demon out of a man. He said, oh my gosh. And he said, I jumped in my Jeep and I went up on top of the mountain. And when I got up there, here was my guys standing around laying around on the ground with this demon-possessed man standing in the middle of them, and they were throwing up and had no control of any of their facility. And he said they were almost dead, writhing around on the ground. And I said, what did you do? Because we'd been studying this in those days. And he said, I threw them in my Jeep and came back down the mountain. I said, Bob, you didn't get that demon out? He said, I ain't called to do that. That's not my calling. So what I'm saying, he was there. He saw it. I've got a lot of stories like that that are told to me by Southern missionaries. It's happened. It's there. It's out there. Now, those same people who have turned themselves over to evil spirits for their success is the wickedness in high places. How many people in Washington today have done what the devil wanted them to do in order to get elected and make a lot of money? You give me a legal pad and a pen, I bet I could sit here for an hour and write down the names of some of them I recognize. They're not for our well-being. They're not for the country's well-being. They're for their own well-being, and the country, as far as they're concerned, can go to hell. And we see them every day. And that's why they're doing it. No reason to ask why. That's why they're doing it. They belong to the devil. And it's not just that they're not Christians, but now that don't really make them born to the devil. Oh, yes, it does. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 says that if we're not born again, we're under the control of Satan. There's only two groups. 1 John says we are of the world and the rest of the we are of God and the rest of the world lies under the wicked one. What you do, listen to me, what you do and what I do is just like when we burnt for the kids. They've never forgotten that. Folks, that's 45 years ago. The impression it made on those kids, they can tell you all about it right now. What you do to get clean and stay clean before God makes an impression on people. It really does. For you to be able to go to that trouble and do something that weird and be serious about it and know that it's going to help you get a blessed life and not be an accursed thing like these the other things. How many people are walking around accursed things and don't even know it? So what's the message? Be a witness. Be a witness. Be aware of the world around us and how it works, and understand that Satan is out to get the people who are around you to frustrate you as much as he can. There are people coming and going in your life every day that are just there to aggravate you because Satan sent them there. They don't even know they're there for that. They're just aggravating folks that want a particular thing and willing to run over you to get it. That's the way he works. And he tempts us with everything. It really made an impression on me to find out this stuff. And I hope, maybe, that it would make an impression on you. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to clean these people up. These people who are in the sound of my voice. Make them aware of the things that are going on. And make them not want to be a part of any of it. You say to hate it and abhor it. Give us the means to do that, Lord, to hate it so bad that we'll get nowhere close to it. That we don't want any part of it. That we can live above the world and this cesspool of evil spirits and walk for you. You say in Ephesians, we once walked for Satan, and now we're walking for you. And we need to act like it. So Lord, let's let us act like it. Cause us to make an impression on people who are watching us because they're watching. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.